Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The epistle lesson for today is all about love. The words that we hear are frequently read at weddings. On Friday morning in our neighborhood, there was not a lot of love. There was an estate sale down the street. They were holding it at what's called the lodge, where the people could gather, but there were not very many parking spaces there, and they filled up very quickly, and so people who wanted to get to that sale right away parked out in the street. Well, that shouldn't be a problem, except there was a bike lane on both sides of the street. More and more people came, and more people had to park in the bike lane, which, of course, is a violation of the law. Pretty quick, the local police officer who polices parking showed up with his little three-wheel cart, and people came streaming out of the sale and running to their cars so they wouldn't get a ticket. Well, there were a few people who apparently didn't get the word, and they ended up getting a ticket. One gentleman in particular came out, and when he saw the ticket and the police officer was still there, he was waving this ticket, and he's pointing and showing lots of anger and lots of frustration. He got out his camera and he took some pictures, I guess, to prove whatever his point was, but it seemed to me that those pictures would have proved that, in fact, he was parked in a bike lane. There was not much love there. And then the police officer drove away. And more people came, and more people parked once again in the bike lane. And once again, the parking police show up. And this time, a few more people were ticketed. There was lots more waving and shouting and pointing and people disagreeing and generally being angry with each other. Love, it seems, and illegal parking are mutually exclusive. And yet, if you think about it, how many times have you not seen a bumper sticker or a sign that says how important love is? There's a sign on a street near our place that says, "Love over hate every time." Another sign that I've seen says, "Love trumps hate." And a bumper sticker says, "Love, not hate, makes America great." And another bumper sticker I've seen says, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." So we think love is pretty important. And it is. But I have to wonder if people are really thinking the same kind of love that Paul is speaking about in the epistle lesson for today. If you read through that slowly, it's really quite a challenge. And it says how important love is. And he talks about the kind of love. We'll get to that in just a minute. Paul says, "Even if I speak in languages, but I don't have love, I'm only a noisy clanging gong or a cymbal." And he goes on to say, "If I have prophetic powers, if I understand all the mysteries of life, if I know everything there is to know, if I have a faith that's strong enough to move mountains," that's a pretty strong faith, "but I don't have love, then I don't have anything. And if I give away all I have," Paul says, "if I even give up my body to be martyred, but I don't have love, I gain nothing." And then he goes on to tell what love is and what love is not. He says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable and resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It doesn't rejoice when people get tickets. But it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things," he says. "It believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things." Love, he is saying, puts the best construction on everything. Love is supreme because it never fails. You've heard those words lots of times, I'm sure, at weddings, although we don't seem to have as many weddings as we used to have. And the theory or the feeling I think a lot of people get, particularly people who are not believers, when they hear those words read, they're assuming that Paul is talking to a husband and wife or a couple who's about to be married. And there's no doubt that the kind of love that Paul talks about is an excellent kind of love in marriage. But we make a mistake when we have that assumption. We jump to a conclusion that those words are not for anybody except married couples, and then related only to their love for each other within that marriage. But if we look at the word that's translated as love, we find out that it comes from the Greek word agape. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love is self-sacrificial. It places others above oneself. Agape love that Paul is talking about here is the kind of love that God has for us humans. God's love for us is so great that he sent his only son to die for us. Jesus' love for us is so great that he willingly died on the cross so that we might be saved. Today, Paul calls us to have that very kind of love. You and I are supposed to love everyone unconditionally. The problem with that is that we are broken people, and while we can love unconditionally sometimes, we certainly don't love unconditionally all the time. And the less we know people, the less familiar we are with them, the more we are probably going to love them less unconditionally. Think of that homeless person at Fred Meyer who panhandles. Can you really say that you love him or her? What about the person who's walking down the sidewalk as you're driving by and they're scolding this invisible person who is right next to them? Can you honestly say that you love that person unconditionally as well? And what about the person who robocalls you trying to scam you out of your money? Do you love that person unconditionally? And of course, we can say it gets worse. What about the person who molests children? We don't love them unconditionally. Or the human trafficker, we don't love those people unconditionally either. So clearly, we are extremely challenged by the words that Paul gives us today to love unconditionally. Our human nature would have us try to get even with people who do things that we know they shouldn't do. But then we tend to forget that rather than our ability to cause them to suffer the consequences of their action, God has said, "Vengeance is mine." We tend to forget that. And still, Paul is calling us today to love unconditionally. Why do you suppose he might be saying that? I came across an interesting article as I prepared for today. The article said that many historians believe the primary reason that Christianity grew as well as it did, as quickly as it did in the first couple of centuries, is because Christians generously loved their neighbors. You see, in that ancient world, mercy was seen as a personality defect. To have mercy on somebody was not the way that people thought you should be. But because the Christians believe what Paul tells them about loving unconditionally, they loved people. They took care of people. Even people who didn't deserve their love and care, the early Christians loved. And so the result was that in early Christian communities, life was happier. People lived longer. They were more comfortable. When something went wrong, there was somebody there to love and to support them. If they needed money, if they were hungry, there were Christians there who gave them food and provided for them. And not only that, but those same Christians extended that love out into the pagan community. And in that process, pagans came to them and came also to believe in Christ as their Savior. In 251 AD, there was a great plague that struck the Greco-Roman world. Streets were filled with people who suffered from that plague because they had been kicked out of their houses because people didn't want them around. They didn't want to show mercy to them. But in the Christian communities, they went out and took those people in. They took an entirely different approach. They had mercy. They had God's love and grace. And so they took those people into their homes and nursed them back, and in many cases brought the people back to health without their dying. But of course, there were some Christians who did die because they also were contracted that influenza. One author suggested this: the practical application of charity was probably the most potent singular cause of early success by Christianity, and the reason that Christianity grew as fast as it did. Something to think about. How does Jesus deal with people in the gospel lesson for today? We read that he indeed taught them in the synagogue, but he also healed them. He drove out demons. He healed them of diseases. The text says that they brought him people. It sounds like almost he was healing people all night. And then he goes to Peter's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. Jesus loved those people. He loved them unconditionally. He didn't say, "Do you deserve to be healed?" He didn't say, "You've done terrible things. You don't deserve to be healed, and I won't heal you." He healed them all, each and every one. And so enter God's mercy and his love for us. While we are incapable of that perfect love, God is not. While we find it difficult to love someone who has wronged us, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God offers to forgive us no matter what, because he loves us no matter what. Today we come to this table. We confess that we are sinners and that we're not able to always love unconditionally. Today we draw near to God and his unconditional love for us. Today we take the body broken for us. We take the blood shed for us. Today we receive God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and his love. Today we are set free from the brokenness of that sin of our inability to love unconditionally. Today we are set free to begin a new life, to start over again one more time. And so let me close with this one prayer. Father in heaven, we love you. Jesus Christ, Son of God, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Trinity, our love for you is far less than your love for us. Please help us to love more and to judge less. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.